It's the Mayo News Football Podcast. I'm Rob Murphy, and we are here. We're calling this Road to Croker still, but this is the Tipperary preview show. It's the All-Ireland semi-final. It is virtually upon us. The weekend is upon us. And we thought we'd put together two friends, two guys who've been part of the podcast over the last couple of months. Colin Sheridan, first of all, welcome back. Hi, Colin.
Yeah, great to be on, Rob, and great to be talking about football in December as opposed to county board meetings.
I should stress, we're all friends on this podcast. I mean, it's not like there aren't any friends, but you're like best buds. Isn't that right, Billy Joe Badden?
Well, we go back a long way. We go back a long way. And there was a lot of theorizing done in the canteen in NUI Galway many years ago, where I think I did most of the listening and Colin did most of the talking.
I like the way that he didn't say that we were actually best friends. He just said we went back a long way.
So, yeah, I was wondering. Who's your best bud, Billy Joe? Who is it?
I am an island. I am a beta.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Colin, it's an awful start. It's an awful start. But look, we'll pick it up as it goes. Don't worry. Loved your piece this week, Colin. Like the lighthearted suggestion that maybe we are the Joe Biden of the Democratic primary in terms of just kind of quietly coming up along the edges while all the romantic favourites might fall away. Is that really the way you see it panning out?
I mean, it certainly has the makings of a bit of that. And it's crazy how you can put any narrative onto any situation and apply it and try and make sense. For the last few years, when we were getting beaten early in the championship, we'd resolved that going on the road was good for us and these racking up an amount of games was good for us, and that was going to allow us to develop and grow as a team and bring new lads in, and who needs to win Connacht championships anyway, et cetera, et cetera. And then suddenly this year, you're back to realizing that the shortest route to Croker is probably the best one, especially for this team and the way they're playing. And I do feel, yeah, I was thinking about the Joe Biden thing because I remember looking at, Jesus, I know I get in trouble in some parishes in Mayo for saying this. So I better be careful. A couple of them close to my own heart. But 12 months ago, like kind of watching Biden sitting back and not saying a whole lot. And when he did, he wasn't that convincing or whatever. But he stuck it out. And you always felt that if, as it came closer to the election, I guess, that if anybody was going to push the incumbent, it was going to be him. And I think with the final four that are left, you can't but say that Mayo have the best shot, even if they struggle on Sunday and just get over, that they still have the best shot of beating Dublin or Cavan.
We couldn't possibly try to even begin to work out what the rest of the country thinks of us, Billy Joe. We'd be here for years. But at the same time, we sometimes summarize it with, they loved us to death in the 12 and 13 final. They really wanted us to get over the line in 16-17. And now they just bloody well don't know what to think about us, but still probably ultimately would like to see us win it. And that's why that analogy kind of works very well. Mayo are just hanging around hoping.
They are, but I think there's an element, if you take the people from different counties that I bump into, it says anyone but the Dubs, and that's not in any case that there's a serious hatred out there for them. It's just that when you get any team that's so dominant, you're literally crying out for anyone to topple them if they can. And the history would suggest that Mayo have come closer in those big games in the All-Ireland finals than anyone else has. And whether they can do that again, now that's a different question, and that's maybe a question for another day. But at the same time, I'm surprised in many ways that teams that have looked at what Mayo have done well against Dublin over the last 6-7 years, and it hasn't been good enough because we haven't won, but and haven't tried to apply more of that in whenever they go out and face the Dubs, and everyone seems to go on and try and out Dublin, and you're not going to do that. And that's why I think it might be a bit interesting for a while to watch the Cavan game, because Cavan, to me, play very, very different football and have so far. And maybe that's a factor in the conditions and a factor in the knockout championship and a factor that they're playing in smaller grounds in Ulster. But it'll just be interesting to see if Cavan actually go out there and try and play their own game instead of trying to mirror the Dubs and then getting wiped off the field.
It's interesting because, yeah, the whole weekend, Colin, is kind of set up this way where we're not quite sure what to expect. I think people are going to tune into the Cavan Dublin game with real interest because I think people have a sense, at the very least, they'll do more than me. There'll be a freshness to the way they go about how they took on Dublin. And no one is entirely sure where Mayo are at in the county. So God knows what they think outside the county. And Tipperary are Tipperary. Lots of talent, but we're not sure either.
Yeah, you're right, Rob. It's nearly like the only certainty is death, and death in this case is Dublin, and like that really is it. Like Dublin have really shown no slackening off at all, especially when it came to the championship time. And like you thought they were going to struggle for losing a couple of players like of the caliber of Jack McCarthy and that, and they just haven't. Kieran Kilkenny is playing insanely good football, and they just seem to be wherever the hole might appear, they seem to be plugging it. And the Desi Farrell transition has seemed to gone a lot better than I'd hoped so far, at least. So you're right. Like the three that are left, obviously we didn't see it this way. Everybody would have backed Kerry from out of especially a shortened Munster, or like a shortened championship, that would have fancied Kerry to be the ones that were going to challenge again. And all the talk then was Donegal and Tyrone. So to be where we're at now, one thing about Tip, like I was thinking about this without having studied too much form in there or anything, but I didn't find that was too much of a shock at all. I guess the history element of it and the significance of the Bloody Sunday and the jerseys, etc., added an awful lot to that. But I really felt that heading into that game, if anything, I don't know what the odds were, but like they had a huge chance to beat Cork. And there was always that fear in a big win like Cork had against Kerry that was going to be their Munster final. And I think it panned out that way. And, we've heard this since from everybody down in Tipperary, but they had no fear of playing Cork. Yeah, Mayo, I mean, like, it was gas, a very good piece in the Irish Times today from Eamon Donoghue breaking down about, the intensity of our tackling and our turnovers. And you read that and you're like, it really reads like we're best equipped to, not only win on Sunday, but as Billy was saying, hopefully, not getting ahead of ourselves, we'll get to a final and challenge Dublin. And then you'd bring it back a few weeks and we're sitting at Pierce Stadium watching them trying to lose the Connacht final. And I know that sounds harsh, but certainly that's the way I felt looking at it in person, being there. They were like, I mean, they found a way to win. Galway found many, many ways to lose it. And like, for all the intensity that Mayo bring, and we do know what they bring and what they're good at, they're so good at, they should have been beaten that day to me. And I felt they were very lucky to get out of there alive. But then you go back 2 or 3 years ago, 2016, 2017, and a few of those games, whatever year it was, they went down to Ennis. And like, we're lucky to get out of Ennis. They were lucky to beat Cork and Limerick. Maybe lucky to beat Derry and Castlebar another year. And they were just always scraping through. And the next thing, they found themselves in finals and like minutes away from winning. So I think that's in the DNA of this team regardless. And there's a very good chance they could go out on Sunday and scrape by, not look impressive, and then be ready for an All-Ireland final. So we're back to the same old head scratching with them, to be honest.
As you're talking there, Colin, I was just thinking that in some ways, the things that I think that'll help them win on Sunday might be things that could hurt them if they were to play Dublin in All-Ireland final. And it's kind of what you're saying there is that, like in the middle of the field, they're probably going to lose the aerial battle. But if they play the full 75 minutes or whatever it is at absolute breakneck speed, you think that they'll run the legs off that Tipperary middle third. And that's where the platform will come from. Whereas the things they've done well against Dublin, the things that have kept them in those big games against Dublin in the past has been their ability to, all right, play at that high tempo. But still, some of the most impressive things about the Mayo team, and particularly under Stephen Rochford in those more recent games against Dublin, was that they were able to hold on to possession, not really do anything with it. But it meant that Dublin weren't in the game. Mayo struggled to get scores in those situations, but they did have quite an amount of time on the ball. And that's exactly what you need against Dublin, because if you keep giving the ball, if their time of possession, to use an American football term, is high, well, then you don't have a chance,
You stole the analogy right out of my mouth there, Billy, because that's something that it's sometimes frustrating for us to watch. When you're sitting at a game and you want to see more direct football, or you want to see more stylish football or whatever. But as you say, when you can, like, the less seconds, minutes that a Dublin team has the ball and Mayo have it, I know now we are getting ahead of ourselves, but in that example, you're right, it is effective. And I do think that that's sometimes what always brings Mayo down or up to the level they're playing. We don't kind of wipe teams as much as we certainly should based on the talent we have. And like, even this year, okay, I think Roscommon were poor and we were good, but either side of that game, we weren't particularly impressive. I do think the loss of the likes of Jason Doherty and for that type of game is huge. A player like that who was so experienced, so dogged, so strong, winning that ball. And I think as well, Dermot O'Connor hasn't probably been at the heights he was at a couple of years ago yet. You know, again, a guy who always saved his best performances for bigger games, so we've probably yet to see them. But I think you're right. I think that style of football is better suited against not better teams, but maybe bigger and more dominant teams, and for us to be kind of playing more the underdog role. But yeah, like the Tipperary one is going to be fascinating, because like the thing that if I was from Galway that I would have been extremely frustrated about was the fact that they had better shooters than us, as I saw it, and that they didn't utilize them in Pearce Stadium that day. Because if they had, and if they had more confidence, and I think a better game plan, or any game plan, I think we were in trouble. And I also would worry a little bit about our full back line, because even in that Galway game, very early on, Ian Burke, who, unfortunately for him, just doesn't seem to be in good form at the moment, and Desi Keneally, who's, it was his first championship start from Mike Cullen. Like, Keneally kicked a point very early on, won a free very early on, and there was more than three or four occasions when our boys were isolated man on man. And okay, it's Chris and it's Lee, but at the same time, I felt that if Galway were a bit cuter in how they used the ball into the breeze in that first half, and you were there, Rob, you could see it yourself, like we were a little bit exposed and we did get turned a couple of times, and it just felt Galway didn't isolate and use the ball as well as they should have. And like looking at like Tipperary with Sweeney and Quinlivan in particular, we just can't afford to play that way. And I wonder how we will kind of, you know, what we'll do as regards sweeping, or what we'll do as regards blocking the space to restrict the ball going into them. Because I think we're a little bit susceptible back there.
Yeah, interesting, Colin, because look, we're deep in the analysis and we'll ease out of it again in a second, because it's inevitable that you deep dive in when you're trying to make sense of a game, Billy Joe. And you know what? I've been fortunate enough to be at most of these games by the Leitrim game, and I've seen what Colin's talking about. And where it sprung out at me was the Tyrone League game, where we were so isolated inside. So what Colin's speaking about there, what we're trying to do as an attacking force, and what it might expose in terms of defence, does concern me. It concerns me in any game, particularly against Tip, where you just get the feeling that if you do go one-on-one back there and they get a bit of a head start in us, now it gets awkward. Like,
it does. But I think as well, you know, Croke Park is always such a different venue, and just because of the way the surface plays. And I think it'd be hard for a team like Tipperary, who are an attack-minded team, to get ahead and then frustrate us. You know, they can get ahead and they can go easily 4 or 5 points ahead. But if that were to happen early enough in the game, I'd feel pretty confident that Mayo would still have the opportunities to create something up the other end through their running game and that sort of thing. Whereas the Tyrone game for me was more about the lack of know-how, the lack of patience in a small pitch in bad weather against a team that knows how to frustrate you. And I don't think Tipperary are that team. And that's why I'm expecting a good open game of football for 70 minutes. And, you know, that's a different challenge, but it will also mean that the concerns you have in relation to how we'll deal with their attacking players, you'll have to have a plan in place. And if you had asked people who know Conor Sweeney and Quinlivan before the Cork game, you'd say, well, what do Cork need to do? Well, I said, well, you have to keep them quiet if you can, and put a plan in place for those lads and see if the other 13 footballers can beat you. And that Mayo have to do the exact same thing. I think in 2016, Quinlivan played more of his time at full forward beside Sweeney. So they were definitely a twin towers effort. And I think our response to that, if memory serves me right, was to drop Barry Moran deep, and Barry Moran basically stood in the D for most of that game. I'm remembering that wrong, but I remember being in the Hogan stand watching. That's my memory of it. And it worked to some extent, even though it was a fairly lackluster performance for Mayo, but they kind of controlled the game. I think that this game would be a big opportunity for some of the young Mayo players they'll really have put a focus on, I think, and I've been saying this all for the last couple of weeks, so, you know, maybe I could prove wrong, that Mayo will want to turn this into a complete and utter race, your real running match. And they will want to rely on Paddy Durkin's legs, McLaughlin's legs, Ruan, Connor Loftus. I think they'll even you know, Lee Keegan is going to have a role to play coming up the field. Keith Higgins might have a role to play for 20 minutes in that running game in the middle of the field. Jermaine O'Connor.
Oisín Mullen,
exactly. Another dynamic athlete. Jermaine O'Connor in the half forward line, running. And they'll want to play the game at a high tempo. So I think you might see mistakes early on from Mayo because they'll be so eager to do things quickly, to play at a tempo that Tipperary are not comfortable with. So even if they make mistakes earlier on, they're going to persist with it because I think that will be the game plan. You know, if you win that game and you go on to Dublin, you're going to have to tweak that. But I think that will be the game plan for Sunday.
Colin, a man not too far away from yourself at the moment because you're in Galway City, Kevin Walsh was on off the ball. I mean, it was interesting to listen to him describe Mayo. He's not convinced by Mayo, and that's fine. And there's probably, we can say it on the Mayo News podcast, and Kevin, you're welcome to come on and disagree with us, but there's probably a little bit of residual rivalry there as well. But he used a phrase, and it's a pull quote, so there was a bit of context to it. The Mayo can be clueless, as far as he's concerned, when they come up against a rigid system. I think that's harsh. I think he talked about the fact that maybe when they play Dublin play an open game and both sides go at it. I think he's an oversimplification for a team that have reached 9 semifinals in 10 years. You first, and then Billy Joe on that. I just want to talk about maybe what he might be right in terms of what he's saying there. But to start with, that kind of concept of the fact that Mayo don't know how to play against a strong defence.
Yeah, I think... And I guess, and you rightly said it, I mean, if anybody can kind of say that, Kevin Walsh can, because he had a lot of success building a team nearly specifically to beat Mayo in Connacht Championships, and they did that. And I do sometimes worry about Mayo's plan B, quite honestly, when we do come up against something that we're not breaking down. And, okay, not to, you know, harp too much on about the Connacht final, but... It was quite frustrating at times, first of all, when it was a difficult day in Pearse Stadium, the wind tunnel, et cetera, but at the same time, we did so much well, and individually we did so much well, and we won like huge turnovers, individual battles, and then we get to a certain point, and the confidence seemed to drain away from the shooting aspect of the game, like where the wind was actually quite a favorable win for kicking, and just because a couple of shots, there were some were shot selection, some were the right shots executed poorly, and then suddenly we just, you know, that confidence to shoot was drained from us, and you felt unless it was Killian or Tommy, I'm not Tommy Golds, Conroy, unless it was one of those guys, we just weren't pulling the trigger, and it was nearly like Mayo were nearly waiting to play into the breeze because it nearly suited us better, and nearly that game plan that Billy is talking about, like nearly work better into the breeze because you can blitz a team and you can run them into the ground. So I suppose to bring back to what you're saying, I think there is an element of truth to what Kevin is saying, at least as I see it, that we can sometimes be a little bit stuck on what our plan B is. And if something isn't working, how do we get ourselves out of that? I think Mayo are a better team than Galway, and that's what got them over the line in the end. And I think, again, against Tipperary, if it's close, I still think we have enough that we will be able to beat them. But yeah, it is, you would, I guess, like to see that plan B being developed in these matches so that you know that it's something they can... they can rely on. I think we're still a little bit too over-reliant on our wing-backs breaking and doing an awful lot of the hard work for us when we need it. And, you know, hopefully we can see a bit more of that from the likes of Conor Loftus facing goal and running with the ball as well on Sunday, where I'd like to see, you know, a bit more variation in the game and getting our forwards into the game a little bit quicker and getting shots off quicker.
I think... I agree with Colin there, and I agree with Kevin Welch in that Mayo are clueless in those situations. The thing he forgot to add is that all the games he's talking about, all the games he's beaten Mayo in and other teams have, whether it be Tyrone this year in Kale Park, are in small provincial grounds. All the big games that really, really matter in the All-Ireland series are played in Croke Park. Mayo's game plan since James Horan came in has been to build a squad that can function well in Croke Park. Now, not function as well as they've needed to because we haven't won the All-Ireland, whereas I still think some other counties are playing a game that works in Clonus or Pearse Stadium or Tuam or wherever, but hasn't proven that it will work in Croke Park, and that's the key difference. And maybe that's one area where Mayo are on the right track, and are not only on the right track, they're on the right track for the last 6 or 7 years. And we talk about this when we look at the young players, whether it be Oisin Mullen or McLaughlin, in that Mayo seem to be picking players that they know. Well, the first question you ask is when they're coming into squad, can he function in Croke Park? Can he function in the open spaces? Has he got the athleticism to be a player there? And if he hasn't, well, we're not even going to persist with him. And that seems to me like the question that James Horne asks himself when he sees new raw talent. I don't think a lot of other counties are doing that.
It fundamentally misunderstands, and this is just to take your point, how Mayo beat Tyrone in that famous semi-final, how Mayo beat Kerry when they set up defensively and the whole kingdom went mental about how defensive they were in 17. How if you were in Croke Park in 16 and 17 and saw how Dublin set up in defence without the ball against Mayo. So that was the part of what Kevin Walsh was saying that frustrated me. It was a complete misunderstanding about what Mayo are facing in Croke Park. They're facing blanket defences there as well. And I'm taking your point, Pidgeot, which is really interesting that you say that, that they're dealing with it because it's wide open spaces and they have a game plan for it.
And Dublin were successful in shutting Mayo down because it's so hard to play against Dublin that it's really physically, tactically, you know, and in terms of the skill level required to hold on to possession for long periods, to create openings in their defensive unit because they are so well organized defensively because they do get so many numbers back. But you rightly point out the teams that are more one-dimensional over the last number of years, Tyrone's and Galway, Mayo haven't had that problem beating them in Croke Park. Mayo have been able to see those teams off. That's because that's what they've been built to do. That's what James Horne and Stephen Rochford have tried to develop. And I suppose one thing, as Colin was talking there a minute ago, we're asking ourselves about, he was talking about, you know, that mobility, that running power in the halfback line and running through that middle third. And I was thinking that, what's different now to when James Horne had maybe the first couple of All-Irelands against Dublin? I can never think of the years. You're sick, remind me. But
you're talking 12 and 13.
Yeah, aren't you? I'm talking 12 and 13. Bernard Brogan.
I have his back, Colin. I always have his back.
I always have to go to you on this one, Rob, because they just blur. The years just blur for me.
That's my job.
Yeah. Mayo had probably the O'Shea's in midfield, or maybe Barry Moore might have played some time in there. And brilliant players as they are, and players we absolutely need, and players I think we're going to need over the next couple of weeks in terms of Aidan and Shamey maybe. But James Horne he's doubled down. He's doubled down on it for his latest trip to Croke Park, and that he's saying, well, you know what? That didn't really work out that day because Dublin ran the legs off us in the middle of the field there. I'm going to find the two most athletic fellas I can that I think can just about manage physically in the middle of the field in terms of balls over your head. And that's Loftus and Ruan. And he's even added more legs to that area. And fair play to him. I admire that because it shows to me that he's saying, I'm having a good think about this. This is what I think is required and I'm going to go with it. And I think it's a lot more than what other managers have done.
I think Billy's right. And I hate when he beats me to the punch and he obviously says it way better than. But I think that's, in a way, why Mayo then struggle even against, not even that they just struggle against more structured teams or more rigid teams, but that they again get sometimes dragged down to the level of who they're playing against, and they don't look as impressive as other teams that might rack up huge totals like a Kerry or a Galway in previous years, and then they are the ones that are clueless when you come down to the crunch. I think it ties in nicely with the Joe Biden analogy again, but it does though, because it literally is, you know, whatever the thinking is, and it's obviously it's far more like Billy got into the science of it there, and that's where it's coming from for James Horne and Stephen Rochford probably before him, and the player, the brain's trust within the player group as well, because I'd say there's a huge part of that in it as well, is the fact that of course they're going to pay appropriate respect to whoever they're playing next. But as Billy is saying, it comes down to it doesn't matter how Joe Biden got through the primaries. Keep him out of the way. Don't have him open his mouth too much. But that's the truth. But they were smart enough to know in the end that this is the only guy that we have that can actually challenge this guy. And we know how we're going to do it. And in some cases, if that's to hold him back and keep him his mouth shut and literally say nothing, then, you know, let the other guys punch themselves out. And that sounds a bit harsh on Joe Biden. But anyway, point being, it does genuinely feel like, of course, James Horn would not have that much hubris that he would be like looking at Dublin the week after they played Roscommon, or looking at Dublin the week after they won the Connacht final, the day after they won the Connacht final. But there has to be a bit of that in it. And there should be a bit of that in it, because they should be able to have a game plan that can go out and beat a team like Tipperary. And Dublin need all of that homework. And I think, like, Billy and I would have spoken about this like throughout the 2000s when he was playing. And I know football obviously changed and has changed a lot. But we were like, well, you know, what's actually our game plan? Or, you know, what identity do we have as a team? And I think the one thing you can say about the successive managers that they have had, whether we've loved it or loathed it at times, that they actually have developed a style of play, as Billy said, that is built not for winning like league matches sometimes under lights when you're sitting down watching them and you'd like them to, but like even taking a relegation, if that's what it means, but you're developing guys to play a certain brand of football, and you know it's yielded, obviously not the ultimate reward, but it's yielded unbelievable rewards for the last decade. And I think that's a huge thing. Croke Park football is what Mayo have been brilliant at for the last 10 years. And that's, again, what should be like wipe and tip on Sunday.
GRG Sports are proud sponsors of this podcast. Kit out your team today. Bespoke team sportswear designed by players for players. Be game, be ready, be geared. Check out GRG's website at grgsports.com.
Billy Joe, Colin has kind of led me to this point, which is that you said in your column this week, and it just reminded me that, like, you were on the pitch in Longford in 2010. Sure. And, you know, I mean,
best
wow.
decision Mayo ever did was getting rid of me.
Is it all you? Ever since, 9 semi-finals in 10 years. I meant to lead that in much better than that. But hey, you know, our listeners know I have the utmost respect for your footballing ability. Having said that, you did note in your column that if someone had told you when you were retiring that it was going to come to that, wow. It's been amazing. And this then, and maybe just to bookend this point, this does still seem different than some of the others because it's a slightly newer team.
It does. And I don't know how long we're doing this, Rob. I don't know how long I'm participating in the Mayo News, whether it be in the column or in the podcast. As I said, every year seems to blur into another for me, and you have to be there defining them for me. But if you had told me, I remember saying kind of maybe in the earlier stages of this period, where if you keep putting yourself in the picture, keep putting yourself in All-Ireland finals, you know, you're going to win them. You just are. And maybe the runs that Mayo have come on in the past before this team, whether you're talking about the 80s or the 90s or even 2006 and 2004, is that they were kind of freak runs where you got to the All-Ireland final and then you weren't seen again for 3 or 4 years. Whereas if you could have built up a bit of pressure, built up momentum and been there for 3 or 4 seasons in a row, you felt you would have learned a bit more and developed maybe the resilience that you would have needed. And that's been the case with this team. They've plenty of resilience, all right. The problem has been is that they just come up against the greatest football team we've ever seen. And you know, that's the only excuse for it. Have Mayo, and like this is something I think James Horn has talked about before, have Mayo played at All-Ireland Champions level? And it's easy for me to say this, and probably anyone outside of Mayo will say, all right, you know, laugh me out and hit me up on Twitter with a load of abuse. But like, some of the performances...
Safe space here, Billy Joe.
Yeah. Well, maybe
don't listen.
Good. Some of the performances they've put in All-Ireland finals have been more than good enough to win All-Irelands. So the level of a team in a given championship season has been more than good enough to win many All-Irelands. And particularly, you correct me if I'm wrong here, 16 and 17, you know, like that level was huge because the level of Dublin in those years, I think, was off the charts as well. That might be the best iteration of this Dublin team that we've seen. And that's frightening when you think about how good they have been and how good they look again this year. So it's been huge. But they still haven't got over the line. And I think that they're relying totally on that resilience. But you made the most important point of the whole lot just in the question, is that this feels slightly different because there's a bit of unknown about it. We don't really know how some of these young players are going to react against Tipperary and All-Ireland semi-final when something is expected of them, really. We definitely don't know how they're going to react if they get to an All-Ireland final and play against Dublin, considering the experience that they have. But we're there watching it and we're going to enjoy it. And I think the one thing I'm pretty sure about is that whatever happens over the next 3 or 4 weeks, I think you are going to see positive and good development for many of these young players, whether it's Tommy Conroy, McLaughlin, Oisin Mullen, Ruan, Loftus in his new role. I think we're going to see continued improvement out of those lads over the next couple of seasons.
Colin, they would have accepted in the wider world a Mayo All-Ireland semi-final defeat this year because it would have been a Connacht title and it would be progress with this group. But now if Mayo lose to Tipperary, the larger majority of Mayo fans will feel disappointed. It's you can never really set out a championship exactly how your expectations are anyways, especially with Mayo. But it's changed, hasn't it, this week? Even though everyone gets that this is a young team and there's a certain amount of uncertainty and Tipperary are capable of beating them, yada yada. Having said that, no one's going to really be happy if Mayo go out this weekend.
No, it changed for the fan the day Kerry got beaten. You know, it's suddenly the realization, like, that, my God, this is like opened up. Now, it was only one game, but it had opened up, and you're looking at Mayo or Galway. We're looking at the fact that they were going to be like strong favourites going into an All-Ireland semi-final against either Cork or Tipperary. So, yeah, like you say. But I think for Horan and the Mayo team, they always, like we've said and laid out, and Billy very brilliantly put it, like, as regards Mayo going up to play, if it was Mayo going up to play Kerry this weekend, even though we got relegated like 5-6 weeks ago, even though we didn't have a great league all the way back in March and there seemed like there was a lot of issues and problems there. If Mayo were going up and playing Kerry this weekend, they'd be as ready and as confident that they would beat them. It's different for us, obviously, looking from the bleachers. But as Billy was saying, and I know he just was dying to say that Mayo, I was trying to get in a postseason, that they're probably the second best postseason team of the last quarter of a century, and they are. And I think that's something that we can reflect on. I know the players themselves, that won't matter one iota for them at the moment because they're still playing and all they want to do is win one. But yeah, this weekend has a, it's crazy. It's crazy for people, I guess, not to be going. You know, it would be a great atmosphere if people were obviously there this weekend. Not sure what it's like down in Mayo as regards you know, flags or any of that kind of stuff. It just has a very weird kind of feeling in that sense. But I also feel that this championship has you know, for so many reasons, meant an awful lot to so many people, and suddenly has meant an awful lot to Mayo and to from both the outside and the inside for that group of players, because, you know, they are one game away from another All-Ireland final, which only adds to the bloody story, you know?
I keep forgetting to put the flags outside the shop. You just reminded me. I just keep forgetting. I'm not even sure. I mean, it's a simple 4.5 minute job. Just put the flags out. But I just keep forgetting. I don't know if that's how we feel, I think, at the moment. And it's not that we're nervous or afraid to do it. It's just, it's different. I think you've outlined it quite well there. And on top of that, Billy Joe, there's a lot of key stars over the last few years who are not part of it. Like, I mean, we're all so used, and they are part of it, of course, but we're so used to, like, you know, going into a game like this and thinking, who's Colin Boyle going to smash in the first few minutes? You know, when is Seamus O'Shea going to get that first catch and get us going? My God, those Tip lads will fear Keith Higgins when he starts running at them. You know, that's Colin brilliantly brought up Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid in his column this week. I really recommend you read it. It's excellent, Colin. I'm not just saying that because you're on. But like, they're characters we all know. It's like you switch on the TV show and all the characters have changed, you know, and like, while it's still, we're fired up, and if anything, Billy Joe, we could even say we're perhaps even more fired up because there's such hope for the future as well. It's different.
Yeah, I think you're right. There's hope for the future. But there's part of me, maybe we are, the romantics in all of us are coming out, but I think we all see that what could happen over these next couple of weeks, we think that we will see cameos from, maybe whether it's Seamus O'Shea or Keith Higgins or maybe even and Colin Boyle. And the thought of Colin Boyle coming off the bench in a big game, in a
real important moment only just makes me kind of brings a tear to my eye to the fact that there won't be a crowd there to react to that. So that's probably annoying. But look here, I think that and James Horan will know this better than anyone else. If those players are physically able to contribute, if they're playing well enough to contribute, there's no doubt in my mind that they have the mental strength to be ready. But also that I think they've proven over the last number of years that they're such good team players. Their whole focus has been to the betterment of the squad in general, year after year. And they've taken a lot of flack for that in different circumstances. And there hasn't been situations where many of those players have put themselves before the team. And we're not seeing any example of that with those big star players that aren't playing at the minute. And I think that's the right sort of attitude, the right sort of ethos to have in any squad.
Colin, do you feel that some of the stuff about the fans, like James Horan keeps getting asked about it, so it feels like he's talking about it a lot, but I don't think he'd be mentioning it one way or the other if he didn't have to, if he wasn't asked about it. So let's put that in the record first of all. But when asked about it, perhaps understandably, he says, no, we don't miss them, in his own way, and I'm paraphrasing, we get on with it. And I think everyone thinks that's a fine answer. But I think what's said after that by pundits and by people commenting on it is, oh, maybe, the less pressure coming from the crowd, Kevin McStay said it, and plenty of other people have, and I've said it. Having said that, I'm starting to wonder, like, mother God, the fans didn't cost Mayo in All-Ireland at any point, ever. Is that fair? Can we put that on the record, Colin? Ever. No fan has ever cost Mayo in All-Ireland. I'm saying it. I've said it.
Geez, I know a few lads from Ballow, to be honest. They're probably... listen, I think, and I understand why the question is brought up, and it's only reasonable in the kind of context of this being such an outlier of a championship that would be discussed. But I also think it nearly goes back into that thing we said earlier on about how, the knockout football suits us. No Super 8 football suits us because it gives us, the back door suits us because we can develop and grow. And I think this is one of these things that you can look at it either way. Like Billy would know obviously better than anybody that individual players react to atmospheres, or lack thereof. Everybody's different in that regard. So I think, in a way, I had to admire Horan for nearly saying it because, the Mayo fan can be a sensitive soul. So for him to say that it's not something it's something that he's kind of nearly happy about, I thought was interesting. I'd love to know when it's all over, how it is feeling for the players. They're obviously not going to talk about it now, especially since they're not talking that much. But it will be interesting when the cards fall, how they do. But I also think, and I did say this week, that I think it has somehow suited Mayo, and you can't contrive this, but that to date they haven't been the story. Cavan have been the story, Tipperary have been the story, and obviously if they win on Sunday and they're heading to an All-Ireland final, yeah, they will become the story again, especially if they're going to a final as an underdog. But I think just it has allowed us kind of figure stuff out, allowed us do what we wanted to do, and while we haven't been overly impressive at any stage, you just have that feeling, you get them back in Croker, as Billy says, and everything changes. But the fan thing, it's bizarre, but that story will only unfold, I guess, when it's all over. It won't diminish it for them, and I've no doubt if they win it. But you're good. Just to go back to the older guys, like it's crazy to see how Mayo have managed to seamlessly integrate these newer guys into the team. And as Billy said, that it's been done without any, no rumbles at all. Now, maybe since Billy was the bookend at the beginning of all of this, maybe there's room for one late last surge. He's still in good nick. I saw him in his new clothes in Sky there the other day. We could just close off this decade this way. But you always would love to know what a lot of the guys who just opted out in the last couple of years must feel. But they're all there long enough. They know the way this goes, and it's only ever about the guys who are there right now, I guess.
Yeah, when you're done, Colin, exactly when the time.
Well, I don't know, but like my dad genuinely still thinks Morris should be playing. and I think he's 48 this year. So,
well, here, don't be. If there's a free missed in the last 10 minutes, then definitely there'll be more than your dad thinking that.
Yeah, it's just as well he's not on Twitter. Morris knows he's done. Yeah, Morris knows he's done.
It's good to know. Who knows? COVID is a strange thing. We might be decimated with some sort of close contact situation. I do think a part of James Horan's planning, Billy Joe, has been just to keep that squad wide and you know, just in case anything like that happens. So it's probably worth noting that as well. But I also want to note, finally, as we finish this up, that, you know, having said what I said, that no fans ever cost Mayo in All-Ireland, I kind of completely understand the concept of the fact that when you have a bunch of young players coming in and you change the dynamics of what the story has been to what the story is now, of course that can still be a good thing for Mayo, isn't that right?
It can. But look, I think you have to look at it from James Horan's point of view. You know, fans in general. Well, that's what I am now. I'm a supporter now. You know, we think that we have this big impact and you know, the Mayo supporters probably like being the story to some extent, because they're, you know, everyone else would say that we're probably one of the best supported teams in the country in terms of numbers go all over the place. I see it and you're astounded by it year on year. But like, that is James Horan, it's minuscule. It's not even a consideration. And they might play a bit of lip service to it after a game, thanking supporters for the support they got. But the reality of it is that if you are a manager, the supporters can't really help you at all. Now, whether they actually hinder you, Anna, as you were speaking, I was trying to think back through those games where Mayo had a dominant period and then they had a wobbly period, and you're kind of thinking, does the grumbling in the Hogan stand, did that really seep out onto the field and affect the players? And just as I say, I don't think it matters too much when you're going well. I don't think it matters too much when you're not going well. So I think that in these circumstances, behind closed doors games, it's very easy for coaches. Their communication job of getting the messages out onto their players is much easier. They don't have to deal with any of those other sort of sounds in and around the grumblings of fans in the stadium, and
the advice, some of the good advice, good advice
you get from right behind you as well. You don't have to deal with that. So look here, the point I'm trying to make in the labored sort of way that I've made it is that James Horan and these players plan and put in place a plan to try and implement it to win a football game. And everything is outside of that. Any outside factor outside of that, they actually actively try and push that away. And that includes the supporters, I'm afraid, on occasion, more often than not.
All right, finally, final thoughts, guys. Colin, what's your ideal watch scenario? I mean, you both have wonderful families that you love spending time with. Do you need to get them out of the way to watch a football match? You have to be honest here. I know nothing about this kind of stuff. I'm lucky enough to be able to watch matches unhindered. Colin, talk to me. Ideal watching scenario.
Ideal watching scenario, Rob, would be the tea med. I'm turning into my father. Curtains pulled, tea med, and even maybe a chair up against the door. I'm trying to. The first Gaelic football match my son Bobby ever showed interest in was the Mayo Galway League match in Tuam a few weeks ago, and he was quizzing me on why I was trying to urge him that he should be supporting Mayo given the fact he was born in Galway. And I said, "Listen, you do what you want. You know that this is all fine." And by half time, of course, he was fully up for Mayo. So, if I could have the room to myself, I think it'd be better for everybody. That's why it's very important to record these matches too, so you can go back and look at them.
I'm lucky enough that my two girls have zero interest in football, so much so that I was watching a Liverpool match the other day, and Stella, who's 8, who should probably really know better, turns to me and says, "Did you play for Liverpool or Mayo?" And I kind of, well, if I played for Liverpool, we might have a very different set of circumstances now. But she does every now and then when I start roaring at the television, she says, stop shouting at the TV. It makes no difference, you know, so that's pretty much it.
James Horan would be like nodding away there going, yeah, it's no difference. Yeah. No difference.
Yeah. Well, I think we're like James Horn. We don't want any spectators either. We just want to be by ourselves watching the game.
hey, you neglected to mention, Colin, do you have like a 2002 Morris Sheridan jersey on as well, surely? Or what's the story?
I go for the Connacht Gold 1991. I think it was the first ever sponsorship that was on a Mayo jersey. It was the Miners in 91. Anyway, I go for the Connacht Gold and the cloth shorts. Billy wears his Longford, the jersey he swapped.
All right, that's it, guys. Thanks a million. Enjoy the game. Enjoy the game, listeners. I need to stress, thank you for all the listens in the last week, folks. We are up to, and lads, react in how you feel you need to react here, number 5 in the GAA podcast in Ireland. The top 4 are all like covering the 32 counties. We just cover one county and we're at number 5.
Can we take back everything we said about Mayo supporters? Can we?
Yeah, exactly. They listen to podcasts for everyone else combined. Now, I should stress, at least a small percentage of them listen on Spotify, and because I'm producing them, they had to listen to just a track of music for 24 hours yesterday. So the fact that we're number 5 with me at the helm is phenomenal, really, to be honest. So apologies about that, folks. But thank you for listening, and we'll be back, win, lose, or draw. Colin, have a good weekend. Billy Joe, you too.
Thanks, take it easy, Rob.